Book of Jeremiah, chapter 7. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, starting from verse 1.
The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord.
Now here the word of God is saying, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Now Jeremiah, we studied almost 6 chapters. Last time we learned he was talking to Jerusalem. And he said what's going to happen to Jerusalem. And he already told what the enemy will do to Jerusalem. And then he gave the idea to enemy how to destroy the Jerusalem. Today he's saying to Jeremiah, you go and stand at the gate where the people come to worship. Now, the whole world is committing sin. There are nominal Christians. They don't go to church at all. They go to church maybe 3 times in their life, or maybe 4 times. Once when they were christened. Second time maybe Christmas or Easter. That's 3. And the 4th time when they die. Maybe burial or something like that. And some people do not care about anything. So here the word of God is saying, but now I'm telling you, go to Jerusalem, go to the place where the temple is, and stand at the gate. And each and every person comes to the worship, talk to them. At least some people thinking, when the people, they are going to church, they might be godly people. Now today, if you see, there are so many denominations. I don't want to tell the name of the denominations, but some denominations, they are worse than the heathen. They do all kinds of abomination in the church. Do you know there are some churches, they have bingos going on their church? Means almost like a, what do you call, casino, small casino in the church. And there are people doing all kinds of evil things in the church. And as I said, some people are thinking if you dress well, if you have Bible in your hand, people might be thinking you're Christian. They can put the marijuana in the Bible and go so the police will not catch them. But there are dogs there, they will catch you. The point I'm making, he's saying, go to the church, go to the temples, stand at the gate, and the people are coming. They are thinking they are religious. They are thinking they are godly. And some people, in the name of God, they do some evil things, and they think, you know, we are doing for the God or doing for the Lord. There are people going to church to hide their sin, not to confess their sins, to hide their sins. In the olden days, if somebody is a criminal and somebody wants to kill that person, they will run to the altar and they will go behind the altar so somebody will not kill them because they thought it's a holy place and nobody will murder me in the holy place. There are some thieves. When the police are running after them, and if it is a Sunday, they might go to church and sit there quietly so the police will not come to church. He might go somewhere else. The thief and robbers, they don't go to church. You might have seen the thieves and robbers, they go to church not to listen something. They can go to church to rob the church. There are people doing these things. So the God is saying, you go and stand at the gate. And when these people come, you can give them message. If you are really godly people, what you should be doing. That's why some of the pastors are there to preach the gospel. Because the heathen people or the worldly people, they hardly go to church. And they don't have time. If you ask them, my mother is Christian, my father is Christian, my name is John or Matthew or Mary or something like that. So I believe that I'm a Christian. How do you become Christian? Because my mom and dad gave me a Christian name and I went to Christian school. And so I'm supposed to be Christian. It doesn't work that way. The word of God says that Nicodemus was a righteous man and very highly qualified in the Jewish law and everything. And he said, what should I do to go to heaven? What Jesus says, you must be born again. And he did not understand even what the born again is. And today also, if you say born again, people say, what do you mean born again? And if you say you should get saved, what do you mean you should get saved? I'm not in some danger zone or something. But the people do not know what the saved means, what the born again means. And so some churches, they don't preach. They don't preach about sin. They don't preach about Jesus. They don't preach about salvation. And the people go there, they might be saying something good, soothsaying things so you feel good. But there will be no conviction. Somebody will tell him, if you committed sin, what should you do? There is no repentance. There is a big church, I don't have to give the name, they are on television. And the people come, Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists, and stay there. And they are proud of that. They say, oh, look at this. These Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims are coming to my church. And I have a question for them. Sir, did they get saved? No, year after year, they're coming and sitting there, but nobody's telling them to repent. Nobody's telling them to give their heart to Jesus. And so they will never say about sin. They never say about repentance. They will never say the judgment of God is coming. But the word of God is saying, go and stand at the gate and talk to these people. What kind of people they are. And God is saying, I'm going to tell you, you went everywhere telling them, this is a good time. Go to church. Go to the temple. Stand at the gate and see who is coming and what kind of people are there. So let's see what he's saying. Verse 3.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.
Now he's saying, I give you a chance. You mend your way means you change your way, change your doing. You're going the wrong way. You are doing the wrong thing. When you say repent means turn around, come to me. You are going away from me. So I'm telling you to change your behavior. Change your doing what you're doing. Change your thoughts, come to me. And then I will say, but he says, you are trusting in lying words. Some churches you go and they preach, some of the things are not in the Bible. They preach and they say, thus said the Lord. So here he's saying, you are believing the lying words. And you think you are going to the temple. He says, a temple of the Lord, or the temple of the Lord, and the temple of the Lord. You are thinking the temple of the Lord is holy. How the temple of the Lord became holy. Now this is the church, but this church was not a church. This place was not a church. This was the office. Somebody was doing selling real estate. There were three people here. One was selling real estate. One was selling insurance. And one was doing some kind of printing. So there are three different kinds of company using this building. So but now when we got this place and now we're worshiping in this place, that became a church. Before that, there was no church. And when just think that we go to the bigger place or better place, and then this place, even though it's called a church, somebody can start doing some different kinds of business, then won't be church. So how the church becomes church? When we preach about God, when the God's presence is there, that's the time he makes us the place holy, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And each and everyone comes and start praising God and glorifying God. The presence of God comes in the holy place. If we are not holy, then the place will not be holy. If God is not in this place will be just like a business center. So here he's saying, you're talking about temple, you're talking about temple. They are not talking about God. They are proud about that temple. This temple is not ordinary temple. They are talking about the Solomon's temple. This is the greatest temple, and they're talking about temple. The people are proud about their churches. One day I saw one lady in the Balham Park. And I said, sister, she was smoking. I said, sister, are you Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. What church you go to? Oh, I'm going to Deliverance Church. Now, the Deliverance Church in Philadelphia is one of the biggest church at that particular time. Now, might be other churches are bigger. So she is giving the name of the biggest church, and that church is a full gospel, preaching the good things, and she is smoking and defiling the church name. I said, ma'am, I know that church. I know that pastor. I know many people come to my church from that church. But you are defiling the name of your church because you are smoking. Actually, your body is the temple of the living God. You are destroying your temple, but you are proud of big church. It doesn't work. That's what he says. My temple, temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord. You can repeat that 10,000 times. I go to Crystal Cathedral. And the people were in that temple or that place. Do you know what they were preaching? 15 minutes message. No salvation. No repentance. Nothing. Where is that place now? The man is gone. They became bankrupt. And the church is gone to somebody else. So the point I'm making, big church, millions of billions of dollars spent to make that glass looking church, but there was no truth preached. So what happened? It's gone. So here the word of God is saying, don't talk about church, churches. This is my church. This is my temple. You're looking about beautiful building, but your temple is your body. You're defiling your body, and you go is defiled person and sitting in that church, you're defiling the church. So here the word of God is saying, don't say temple, 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 because you are not living accordingly. Verse 5.
For if ye throughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye throughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt.
Now see what he's trying to say? You say, if you thoroughly change your mind, change your ways, and change your wrongdoing, and do the judgment or justice of God, and love the mankind, and love your neighbor, what Jesus Christ says, love the Lord from your heart and love your neighbor. And one man comes and tells you, who is my neighbor? And you remember Jesus gave him a story, I don't have time. And he told him the Samaritan, how he took care of the person who was almost dying. So the word of God is saying, you should love a fellow man. If you are born again child of God and Jesus loves you and Jesus in your heart, you have the love of God in you. The word of God said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When that Jesus Christ comes in you, he is the model of love. Once Jesus Christ comes in, you will learn the love of God. You will have the heart of God. You will have the spirit of God. Then you will not hate anybody. If you are a born again child of God, and if some person born again child of God in Africa or even the Muslim country somewhere, I love that person just like my own brother. Doesn't matter language or color or nationality. If that person loves the Lord Jesus and he's born again, he's my brother, because we are blood brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So here he's saying you should love the man, you love the strangers. Now in some of the countries, they hate the strangers. But in America, we welcome all the people from all around the world. Each and every person comes to America, we welcome them. Sometimes the Muslim comes and Hindu comes and all kinds of people comes and we say we are melting pot. But at the same time, they bring their religion. They bring their customs. And many places now, France and London, they have more Muslims and they have their more Muslims law, and they're doing everything, and they want to change the world. They come to our country, and we give them freedom to do whatever they want to do. When you go to their country, you have to wear the burqa, you have to leave the Bible, you have to give up the cross, and then go to their country. But we are not learning. We are melting pot, but at the same time, we have to have some spiritual standard. If you come and make a mosque in my country, we should have a freedom to build the church in your country. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But the point I'm making, the word of God is saying, we love, we don't hate Muslims. We love Muslims because we want them to come to Christ. We don't hate Hindus. We love Hindus so they can come to Christ. So the word of God says you should love the fellow man. You should love your neighbor. You should love the strangers. You should love the fatherless people, who doesn't have a father or mother, and love the widows. And the people should not be shedding the blood. Now somebody saying, who is shedding the blood? First of all, there are murders happening all the time. But the people in America, certain state I'm talking about, they will murder the babies because baby cannot talk, and they even abort the babies when they are almost 8 months pregnant. And so you can murder the babies every day. Not only that, what America is doing, America is helping other poor countries like a China or India or Africa. You want to murder the babies? We will give the money. We will make the centers for you. You do it because you don't want so much population. So we can control the population with a murder and with a bloodshed. So he said, you are doing all these things. You are doing bloodshed and you are killing innocent children around the world. So that's what the problem is in our country. Our country was one of the flourishing country in the world. We were in the bread basket for the whole world, and we are still doing it. But we do not have the same power like before. We are not the rich country like before. There are so many people leaving our country. Why? They are saying we came here to flourish, but we cannot flourish in this country. So they are leaving the countries. And some people say, oh, some people come from different countries, and so we should deport them. You don't have to deport them. He says you love the strangers, but when your country is doing sinful activities, and you in your country, if they don't have a job or something, they will go themselves. You don't have to deport them because they said we came for good things and his bad things happening. In our country, we didn't have this kind of problem. One Hindu man came from India, and he was very rich and he has car and everything and big bungalow. And it's a long story, but I knew him in India. He came here, and within 3 months or so, he said, this is not my country. I don't like it here. I'm getting out of here. And he went back to India. Point I'm making, we should be welcoming people. People should be saying, hey, this is the better place. This is the good place. This is the godly place. And I want to be here. So when we start treating people nice, our neighbors, our strangers, our fatherless people, and widows, and try to not shed the blood in this country, our country will be one of the finest country again. It's not too late. We have to train the people. We have to say, why this calamity coming to our country? We are killing innocent baby every day. But at the same time, if some criminal kills 10 people or 20 people, and they say, don't give him a death penalty. I start thinking, what in the world people are thinking? They can kill the babies when the babies cannot talk, but the person who did the criminal act with his own mind and he knows what he did, and you let him go. So what we're telling people, we give you a license to kill others, but we don't kill you. If you start doing that, then the people do more murder and more killing. Somebody says, oh no, it doesn't work. Yes, it does. When you say there is no death penalty, do whatever you want, why people have to be afraid? They can kill people, destroy people, and they won't be killed. So here the word of God is saying, you are doing all evil things. And that's what the problem is, verse 7.
Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever.
He says, if you do these things, means love the neighbors, do the righteous things, help the fatherless, help the widows, do not kill innocent children. And when you do these things and don't go after other God, those are hurting you, then I will let you stay in this land. That means I will change my mind. I want to destroy you because you're doing wrong thing. But if you want to do right things, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. Because I promised to your forefathers, I will give this land forever and ever. Now somebody says, God promised me that he is not going to destroy me. That's what the people take it in their mind. They said, when you are born again, you are sealed. You are born again, you are secure. Here it says, I give the land forever and ever, means nobody will take you from this land. But at the same time, God is saying, I'm going to tell the enemies to come. I'll take you as a prisoner to other country, and your land will be peopleless, and nobody will live there. Then somebody said, you promised me forever and ever I'm going to stay. The same thing people say, if you are born again, you get saved forever. What does it mean? If I'm born again, you lose your salvation. Oh, that's a good idea. So I get born again today. I get baptized today. Tomorrow I go murder people. Tomorrow I go and start a prostitute business. I can do anything because now I'm sealed and there is no punishment. Doesn't work that way. When God loves you, God wants you to follow him. You cannot say, Jesus, I love you, and follow somebody else. Our God is a jealous God. He doesn't want you to follow another God. He doesn't want to follow unrighteousness. Our God is a pure and holy God. Once Jesus comes in, the sin goes out. You will be purified. You will be sanctified. You will be righteous. But if you give up your righteousness, like the word of God is saying, Peter says, you will be going like a pig washed and going back to the dirt, and dog going back to the vomit. Those people are called backslidden. God did not call us to backslidden. He says, if my people hear my voice and follow me, then I'm a good shepherd. I'll feed them. I will give them everything. But if they go astray, then what? The wolf, tiger are waiting to kill them. And so the God is saying, you follow me and you do accordingly. Whatever the promise I made to your forefathers, this land forever and ever, I'll give it to you. I let you stay. But if you don't, you will be punished. Verse 8.
Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not?
Now here is saying, you are trusting the lying words, and that words cannot profit. That means if you learn the lie, it sounds like a truth, but if you doing something wrong, you're not going to prosper. What Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. Free from what? Free from sin, sickness, disease, poverty, or anything. If you're bound to do wrong things, but when Jesus comes in, he takes your sins and he washes you, cleanses you. He said, now I am the truth. And when you follow me, you will never go wrong. And he says, when the Son of God sets you free, you are free indeed. I got set free from Jesus Christ. So all my sins are gone. All my sickness are gone. And I'm living in freedom. No bondage. Because born again children of God should be free. The word of God says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, what it says, be not entangled again the yoke of bondage. Once you are free from the sin, you should stay free. Please read.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
See, be not entangled again the yoke of bondage. The word of God says we were murderer, we were killer, we were bad people, we were doing wrong thing. But Jesus Christ came and quickened our spirit and he transformed us. Now we are his children. We can call Abba Father. We can worship him. We can stand in the temple of God or the church and we come and say, Father, here I am. We have holy boldness to call Father. And so here he's saying, but what you're doing, you are stealing, you are murdering, and you are doing adultery, and you are doing taking the incense and burning to the Baal God, and doing all kinds of worship, other gods, you don't even know them. Do you know in India there are 33 million gods? Now the 33 million gods they had, because that time 33 million people were in that land, and somebody said it, each and every person is God. So now maybe billion gods. And so what I'm trying to say, when these Hindu people come to me and they say we have 33 million gods, I said, could you write it down, their names? Give me the list of your 33 million gods. Not a single Hindu person will write the 33 million names of God. Why? Because they are not 33 million gods, but they made it up. And here he's saying, you are worshiping those gods, burning the incense to those gods, and you don't know them. So I tell the Hindu people, you're worshiping 33 million gods, but you don't know their names. So you are worshiping false god. And when you're worshiping the false god, you don't get blessed, but you get hurt. Okay, verse 10. Go back to the Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 10.
And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord.
Now here is saying, you thinking that God has delivered you, set you free, you are born again children of God, for what? Worship the Lord. Thank God, doing good things, but you are doing abominations. Why? Because some of the church is giving you freedom to do whatever you want to do. God loves you. God's love is unconditional love. Keep on doing anything. There is no unconditional love in the Bible. Bible says, if you believe Jesus Christ, if you confess your sins, if you turn from wickedness, there is if, no unconditional. Unconditional means you can do anything. There is nothing God can do. But the word of God says, if you want to walk according to the will of God, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you will be blessed. So here is saying, you go into church and be destroying my temple. And Jesus Christ came, if he came to the temple, and what they're doing? Bazaar. And today also the same thing, people are doing it. They are renting their church for some other businesses. One time we had the church in the Rising Sun Avenue. And when I came, I see some kind of smell, some flowers and rose perfume. And I called the pastor. I said, what is this smell I'm smelling? He said, well, I gave it to the Hindu people and they worship their Hindu gods and things like that. I said, sir, you're defiling this building. If you want more money, I would have given you more money. Why are you giving this building for worshiping heathen gods? And what I did, I gave up that building and bought a new church from somewhere. The point I'm making, people are making the church of God as the den of thieves. Why the word used den? Because the thief, they run for safety in the mountains and the den, so the people cannot find them. And so that's the way he says, now these evil people coming to church and making this church like a den of thieves. So they come here, robbers and bad people, having the form of godliness, so nobody will say they are thief and robbers. Let's read this. Matthew chapter 21. Jesus used this scripture that he says, when I saw these people doing these bad things, This was the Jeremiah saying. Matthew 21, verse 13.
And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.
Now he says, see what Jeremiah was saying? Saying to those people, you made my house like a den of thieves. And now you are repeating the same thing. You are doing the same thing you never learned. Years passed, but your heart is not changed. And all the Sadducees and Pharisees, they are doing bazaar in the church. Now, there is another word in book of Isaiah. Let's read Isaiah 56, verse 7. Now, this is for the future he's talking about.
Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people.
Amen. He said, now the time is coming. When Jesus Christ comes, destroys the enemy, starts the 1,000 years reign, his kingdom, and all the nations will come to see Jesus Christ. Just like people were coming to see the Solomon's wisdom. Once more, there will be people will be coming all around the world and worshiping Jesus Christ. And then he says, my house will be the house of prayer. Now, that's what God wants. Not the house of den and thieves and robbers. This house should be house of prayer. When I go and do some service, one time there was a open ground and I said, I'm going to have a convention here. And the people start saying, this is a bizarre place. I said, I'm going to sanctify this place. And all around I kept the lights and everything. And I went there and put the boards there. No smoking allowed in this area. And sanctified the place. And when I start preaching, before I could pray, people start getting healed. And people start coming and saying, I got healed just listening to the word of God. What I'm trying to say, even the bazaar place, I clean it out and I prayed and I fasted and I say, Lord, this house, this place will be holy ground. If anybody stands in this holy ground, they should get saved and healed. And God did it. Same thing we are going to do this Leo Core Center. I already went there and I stood in every exit and raised my hand and said, Lord, give me this place. Sanctify this place. I'm coming here. Each and every exit I went and already prayed and gave this place to God. And once the June 22nd comes, you're going to see the signs and wonders and miracles because God is going to sanctify this place. People come and do the basketball and use the foul language and all kinds of things, but we are going to sanctify that place. And you will see when the people are worshiping and praising God, feel the presence of God and people will be getting healed before we touch them. We don't have to push and push people. I never pushed anybody in my life. Sometimes they fall without touching. But you don't have to push anybody. You don't have to show your power that you are a macho man. God, Jesus Christ, never pushed anybody. Peter never pushed anybody. Peter's shadow healed the people. He didn't have to go and push anybody. So that's what I learned. Peter said, silver and gold I have none. That lame man, get up and walk. I said, I'm going to do the same. Look at my hand. No silver, no gold, no ring. I'm a married man. But I thought that Peter was a married man. And he says, silver and gold I have none. So he didn't have the wedding ring. So the point I'm making, I'm living for God. God wants holy people and God wants holiness. When you do that, the things will start happening. Okay, let's go back to the Jeremiah. You can read up to 11 and 12 if you want.
12 is fine. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh.
Now here is saying, I tell my prophets, go and preach, and day and night they are preaching, you are listening, but there is no change in your heart. You keep on doing evil things, but I kept on sending my servants to preach all in the morning until the midnight, day and night, somebody's talking to you, but it's going like over your head. And there is a saying, if you take a jug or glass and put it upside down and put it under the water, you can put 1 year, 2 years, but not a single drop will go inside. So that's what he says, your heart like an upside down cup and nothing is going. And I said all these things to you, but you don't listen. I have an example for you. He said, example about Shiloh. Now somebody says, I don't understand what the Shiloh example he's giving. In Shiloh, there was a tabernacle. In the tabernacle, there was a place called a place of testimony, Ark of the Covenant. And the people were not listening to God. I'm talking about that time, Eli was the prophet. And his two sons, they were doing all evil things, raping the ladies, taking the meat by force, and destroying people, and so many bad things they were doing. And God talked to Samuel, said, I'm going to destroy these people, Eli and everybody. Samuel was afraid to talk to Eli. He said, what God told you? He told him everything. He said, okay. Now what happens, if you want to read, we don't have time, but when you go home, read the 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 to 18. When you read that, you will know what happened. Enemy came, took the Ark of the Covenant, stole it, and took it. And then when the Eli was sitting on the chair, and somebody came and said, you know, your son is dead, and your other son is dead, and he was a little bit sorry, but he said, they took the Ark of the Covenant. As soon as he heard, he fell backward, and there was a metal gate or something. He fell on it, he broke his neck, and he died. And they said he was very heavy set. Means he was like a fat priest. Eating. His children are robbing and bringing all things and bringing and eating. And he became like a fat man, could not walk. He's sitting there, and Ark of the Covenant is gone. And when children died and everything, and then he fell back and died. There are so many fat pastors. Some pastors are more fat because they go and every house, they eat and drink and eat and drink and eat and drink, and they cannot say no, because if they say no, one person, somebody say, you hate us, you don't love us, you have to have this tea or coffee. And they got sickness and disease and all kinds of things, and they cannot even see what they have in their plate. There was a one man sitting, and they are having a feast, and some other person sit in front of him. He could not bend down to see his food. He said, could you see if there is any food in my plate? Could not bend down to see his food. Somebody tell me if there is any food remaining in my plate. That's the kind of fat people in this world. And so Eli died, and he said, this is what happened. I allowed those enemies to take the Ark of the Covenant. I killed the priest. I killed his children. I destroyed them. You did not learn anything from that Shiloh. That's what he's trying to say. Okay, go back to Jeremiah chapter 7. Start reading from verse 14. 15.
And I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim.
Now, we learned a little bit about Ephraim. But he said, "Why? This is another example given of Ephraim. Ephraim and Dan, they start doing idol worship. They are worshiping idols. Ephraim is the, what you call, first son of Joseph. And God blessed this child through Joseph. But sometimes people say, oh, I'm blessed, so I can do anything, as I said earlier. The point I'm making here is saying, giving an example of Shiloh, giving example of Ephraim. Let's read the verse 16.
Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee.
Now here is saying, now somebody says, you know, most of the time people call, oh, Pastor Peter, pray for my friend. He works somewhere, he smokes, he drinks, he does this, that, but he's a good man, pray for him. If I say, look at this word, he said, don't pray for those people, I will not hear. But we still have compassion. We still pray. And sometimes nothing happens. Why the word of God is saying, why is not happening? Because they are stubborn. They don't want to change. I tell people, you want to pray for your daughter, your son, why don't you bring them to church? I can talk to them, I can pray for them. But they don't want to come to church. They don't want to listen to the word of God. When they say somebody, Daddy, could you please pray for me? Mommy, could you please pray for me? Where are you? Oh, I have a date today. I'm going to go for dating. How God can hear your prayer? He says, don't pray for these people. There is another example. Go to Ezekiel chapter 14 and read verse 14 and 20.
Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God.
Here is saying Noah, Daniel, and Job. All these people are warriors. Noah prayed and saved whole his family. Job prayed and helped his friends, and they got healed. Daniel prayed for his people. He said, they are all good people. But I will not listen to their prayer when they, the nation, do not hear. And read the Jeremiah chapter 15, Jeremiah 15 verse 1.
Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people.
See, now he's giving another example. He gave the example of Job, Noah, and Daniel. Now he says Samuel and Moses. Moses delivered the children of Israel. They committed sin. He said, Lord, don't destroy them. God said, okay, I'll listen to you. And Samuel said, if I don't pray for my people, it will be a great sin. But now he said, I'm not going to listen to Samuel. I'm not going to listen to Moses. I'm not going to listen to Daniel. I'm not going to listen to Noah. I'm not going to listen to Job. That's the kind of situation where people are in. It's a difficult. In the New Testament, Paul says, give those people to Satan. I'm not going to pray for those people. Give it to them to Satan. And let the Satan destroy them. And sometime, maybe their mind will turn to God and they will come to God. So we don't pamper children. If they're doing something wrong, you tell them, sir, this is my house. You're living in my house, we have rules and regulations. You cannot bring the girlfriend and start sleeping in my house. You cannot bring the liquor and start drinking in my house. You can bring marijuana in my house. You cannot bring the dirty books in my house. This is God's house. I am a God's child. You have to take a stand. Then God will bless. But you cannot say, okay, that's okay. I go to church and I pray like a... Job said, my children will do something wrong, so I do sacrifice. That didn't help. He said, whatever I feared, that came now. So he was not teach children to do right. Eli was not telling his children to do right. So those people died. So if you are a born-again child of God, he said, oh, I love my daughter unconditionally. I love my son unconditionally. If you love them unconditionally, they will go to hell unconditionally. God is not going to save them. God is love, and God is consuming fire. Okay, let's go back to the Jeremiah. Start reading from verse 17. We're going to finish soon.
Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem?
Okay. I said we are going to finish. But this is only verse 17. And I looked at it. Do you know how many verses to go? 34. So we are halfway. So what I'm going to do, we'll come back next week and going to finish this chapter. We will come back and find out what God is showing to Jeremiah. Shall we rise and let's pray? God is trying to tell his servants, warn the people. He says the judgment will start from home. Home is the church. The judgment starts from the church, then what will happen to the unsaved people? God is not going to say, oh, you're born again, child of God, and I love you and do whatever you want, but I'm going to punish the sinners. That's what the people are thinking. hey, come to Jesus, then you will not have punishment. If you come to Jesus, you will not have punishment if you stay in the blood of Jesus. But if you come to Jesus and you be a backslidden person, you will be punished. Our God is a just God. Jesus Christ came as a savior. Now he is coming as a judge. There is no way out. So we should say, Lord Jesus, here we are. You have given us time. Do you know how many babies dies every day? How many teenagers dies every day? How many middle-aged people die every day? How many old people died every day? What I'm trying to say, there is a time appointed. The word of God says there is appointed time once to die after that judgment. Don't say I'm not dead yet. The judgment will be coming. So before the judgment comes, say, hey Lord, I'm here. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. I believe in you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I want to turn around from my wickedness. And I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to live a victorious life. Not yo-yo life. Not the defeated life. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. And change me. Our God is gracious. He will do it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite purpose and no turning back. We are going to follow you. We are going to tell the world Jesus Christ is the only Savior and there is none like Jesus Christ. And he can change you, transform you, and make you ready for his soon coming. Lord Jesus, be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.